Well, this is interesting. Nelly just pointed this out. Kevin Weeks, who's real good NHL analyst and breaks news from time to time, has the eyeball emoji with a shot of Pittsburgh. Does that just mean he's... Well, he wouldn't... Why would he be here? He's not here. Hashtag HockeyX, hashtag Hockey Twitter. What does that mean, Paul?
So who's this, Kevin Weeks?
Yes.
Let me look at it.
Sullivan to the Devils, somebody suggests. Crosby to the Avs.
Kevin Weeks.
Sully.
How do you spell his name?
People are speculating about Sullivan's future. W-E-E-K-E-S. Kevin Weeks.
Oh, K-E-S. Okay. Kevin Weeks.
Eyeball emoji, dot, 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 and then a picture. I think it's the Clemente Bridge and downtown. What is this? What's going on here? Why would he be going through Pittsburgh? Somebody wonders, are you in Pittsburgh? Is that why? Why would he do the eyeball emoji for that? People are wondering about Sully. Everybody wondering about Sully and the Devils. Everybody wondering about this and that. What's going on here, Paul?
This is what I'm tweeting right now. As if we didn't have enough to speculate about the serious move for the Steelers. Or whatever the hell that was.
Well, that's still speculated. And right. Zay Jones, by the way, just got released by the Jags, who drafted Brian Thomas. You interested in Zay Jones?
Yeah, why not? I think he's a good player.
Yeah, he's kind of Tyler Boyd-like. I would rather have Boyd myself. Zay Jones was racked by injury last year. He only played 9 games, whereas Boyd has been healthy pretty much his whole career. And I don't know. I 34 catches. He had 82 the year before when they were a good offense. 82 catches, 823 yards, 5 TDs. But he had some problems last year. I think it was ankle, leg problems. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be that thrilled with it.
But if
I'd rather get a big fish.
But they could sign him. You know, it would cost them almost nothing to get him. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think they need a legit number two, and he ain't Is there a big difference between him and Van Jefferson? I don't know.
You're right. Yeah, that's probably true. So this whole thing with Kevin Weeks, Sullivan to the Devils, we hear. And this guy that says Sullivan to
Those are readers, right?
Wait, Sullivan to the Devils, he says we hear, H-E-R-E. So that's a really credible guy right there. Actually, Richard has a blue check. LeBron, AD, Herbert enthusiast. Mm. Today is a good day to fire Dennis Allen.
So Weeks has not said anything beyond that. Those are all reader comments, but it has people going wild here. The eyeball emoji. Our friend Nelly pointed this out. What do you think this means, Limits? And we haven't heard from you. I want you to jump in here, Neutron.
And I'm also donning my 2015, the postseason is here, pirate shirt. I might not be able to wear a postseason is here shirt for a very long time, so I'm basking in that glory. This has to be something in regards to either A, Todd Reardon is officially gone, or B, there's a big juicy trade rumor with somebody, and maybe it's Tristan Jarry. If there's anybody on the Penguins, that's who it would have to circle around.
What?
Tristan Jarry.
What about the idea of Carlson going back to Ottawa? I know Mackey, I think, wrote the other day that his wife loves it there, has connections there in Ottawa. His Carlson's best buddy, is it Alfredson? I can't remember, is an assistant coach there. Like, he has obviously major connections there. Could they talk him into leaving? I don't know. All you'd hear is a rumor on that right now, but the coaching stuff seems more realistic to me, Paul.
Yeah, or someone speculating that like Pittsburgh got awarded an All-Star game or the draft or something.
Maybe. Yeah, especially since you put the city skyline on there. Yeah. There you go.
That's probably what someone speculated.
Yeah, but if someone's putting out the eyeballs, we're speculating. That's what we do here. So let's speculate on some phone calls there, Limits. We opened the show with the Pirates bottoming out on offense last night. It's my contention, and I think Paul agrees, that this was the Steelers in Cleveland, where literally years of offensive ineptitude hit rock bottom. We all saw it. Art Rooney, a lot of people believe, stepped in and made sure that Matt Canada was gone after that game. I happen to think Bob Nutting should force a change right now with Andy Haynes. And as one faithful listener said, Patrick Roberts, I think it's the players, not the hitting coach. The problem is the owner, not the GM or hitting coach. The budget for players is the issue, and that is ownership's responsibility. I hear that. I definitely hear that. But every young player of pedigree is getting worse.
Yes.
So somebody got to take the fall for that. Both things can be true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that's the big thing. That's the big thing to me is everybody wants narratives. I don't deal in narratives, Joe. I just look at what happens. I look at facts. I look at that. And it frustrates people sometimes because they think that, that because I don't go along with whatever their narratives are if the facts don't necessarily align with it. You know what I mean? I look at the facts. I look at the data. I look at what we're actually doing here. And I I don't know how you could argue about what you just said. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, both can be true. It's a bad, bad roster. And that's on Charrington. And then by extension, you look at the budget and it's absolutely on Nutting. But come on. I mean, nobody's getting better. Something has to fall on the hitting coach, you know?
All right.
928-93-70. Nobody,
but again, nobody's getting better would suggest that it's not just the hitting coach. Maybe it's the hitting coach's philosophy that's holding everyone. But at the end of the day, you know what? I think when you look at it from this standpoint, if these guys, these young hitters, are coming through three or four levels of minor leagues, and they're, you know what I mean? They're building a little bit at a time. On, okay, now I'm in single A, now I'm in double A, now I'm in triple A, right? It's not just Andy Haynes. Maybe it's his philosophy, but all of these instructors, all of these people that are in charge of development.
And that goes back to Charrington then.
It all goes back to Charrington because at the end of the day, it starts at the top. This is our organizational philosophy. This is what we want. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'd be willing to bet Derek Shelton isn't on board with everything that's going on in terms of how they're trying to develop hitters and things of the such. I just can't believe a guy who was a hitting instructor, who was a hitting coach.
But isn't he part of the problem?
But my point is, we saw what happened with a guy from the double A. That what's his name? The hitting coach?
John Nunnally.
Nunnally. We saw what happened with him.
Right.
He went against the philosophy, and guess what? He's no longer here.
I don't know. He helped. What did he actually do? All he did was help Key Brian Hayes, and they seemed to. I remember asking Shelty about that last year, and he didn't seem to like the question. They all seem incredibly protective of Andy Haynes.
Yes.
And I can't figure out why. Let's hit the phones, Paul. Who do you got, Limits?
Dan in Upper St. Clair.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. About your most infuriating Pirate right now, I'd have to say I think we can just label Hank Davis a bust. He doesn't even call the pitches from behind the plate, guys. So, like, him concentrating on catching this year and learning to be a catcher, all you got to do is catch the baseball and then go out and hit. He's not even calling the game. And that, to me, is very infuriating. And O'Neill Cruz also just doesn't pass the eye test. I think they just drafted him because of his size, like they did Polanco.
Well, let's be honest. Cruz has incredible, phenomenal natural ability.
Oh.
But the guy for the Reds, the other Cruz, Ellie De La Cruz, he's become a star already. Go look at his numbers.
And I just saw last night what his numbers were. Like
De La Cruz,
yeah,
or O'Neill?
Yeah. Ellie
De La Cruz. O'Neill's not even the third best Cruz in the National League.
Ella, yep. Here we go. Ella De La Cruz has 18 stolen bases, the most before May 1st since Deion Sanders in 1997.
Give me his OPS and all that.
Ella De La Cruz now has 8 home runs and 17 stolen bases in April. He's the first player with at least that many home runs and stolen bases in a calendar month. Since at least 1901.
Yeah, he's becoming a star. Now, I want to give O'Neill a little bit of a break in April because he's coming off a major injury. But, man, this cannot go on much longer. It just can't. And then Henry – and I wonder about O'Neill – We've seen Gregory Polanco was an example. Taller guys have holes in their swing that can be exploited. And I want to ask Shelty about that today as well. And then Henry Davis. Paul, I'd love to get a hitting instructor on here to analyze him for us. What I see,
yes.
What I see is a guy gripping the bat like if he lets go of it, the world's going to end, and trying to pull everything. I mean everything. And you just can't live like that at that level. You just can't.
No.
And I just don't see anything resembling a polished approach, an all fields approach. There's been no power. There's been nothing. Nothing. And I'm growing highly concerned about him as a hitter. I honestly don't give a damn about the catching or the right. I never did.
I never did.
You draft a guy one overall for his bat.
Exactly. You want him to hit. Period.
Let's go to the phone. God bless you.
Here's Rob in West Mifflin.
Hey, Rob.
Morning, folks. How y'all doing? This problem started, man, in the offseason. You know, we was all preaching that you got to go get at least one more pitcher. We agree with that, but, you know, Rowdy Tellez, you can't be serious about winning if you sign a Rowdy Tellez to be your starting first baseman. Then Piguero was tearing the cover off the ball last year towards the end of the season. I thought he was definitely penciled in to be the starting second baseman. I don't know what Shelky's infatuation is with Triolo.
Me neither.
But, I mean, I would bring all these guys up here. Like, Piguero should definitely be up here. Gonzalez, you know, I don't know if this is his last shot, but he needs another shot. Because right now, this is not sustainable, and right now, we look like we might be on pace to losing another 100 games, man. With all these good arms that we have, we can't have no more seasons like this. So I'm with everything that y'all say, and this pitching coach, they need to leave him in Oakland.
Yeah.
Send him back on the same plane that Piguero and him is coming on.
The hitting coach, right. No, you won't find any disagreement here.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, it's been so hard to watch this team. Because I feel like there is something there if these guys were either developed better or were playing better or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hope. I mean, I worry about Cruz and Davis, and those are supposed to be two of your guys. Gonzalez was supposed to be a guy by now, and he was right. Rob was right about the offseason. And all they did was dumpster dive. And it just gets so tiresome to see them, they position themselves as a franchise that can only afford to take chances on guys who have been hurt and underperforming and this and that. They position themselves as that. They're trying to hit on lottery tickets. I mean, Rowdy Tellez was the second. Should have been their second choice if they were going for a veteran first baseman. Rhys Hoskins should have been the first, and even he, you could argue, was a dumpster dive. But Tellez is coming off a year where he batted 215 with an OPS that was like in the 600s.
Right.
You know? And he's never been a great hitter. The career OPS is 740. He's got some power. He's got some pop. That's about it, although he hasn't shown it at all yet here. It was a dumpster dive. And you can't spend a little money on like one position out there.
Yeah.
Just one. Go get a bat. You know, nobody's asking for the Dodgers payroll. Just get as close as you can to a guaranteed bat. And I know there's no such thing. I know the Giants spent a bunch of money on people and that's not turning out, but you get the point.
Right.
Out there. You're only going to hit when all you're doing is going out and getting lottery tickets. There's a very low percentage you're going to hit.
Well, again, but the bottom line is, have they really gotten lottery tickets because they've drafted so high?
It's more like what are the tickets where you can? I'm talking about veterans. But
yeah.
What are the tickets where you can only win $10 even if you do win? What do you call those?
Scratch offs.
Yes, that's what they do. They specialize in scratch offs. City Limits, where even the reward is $10. You've probably spent more going to the grocery store.
But here's the thing, Joe. Here's what's frustrating. They invested money in Brian Reynolds. Hasn't really turned out very well.
Not really.
Invested money in Aroldis Chapman. Hasn't really turned out very well.
Mitch Keller. so far.
Invested money in Mitch Keller. I mean, I would argue that he's been at least, you know, how do I say this? Competitive. I don't know that he's been great, but he's been okay.
Not this year.
Since
they invested that money in
right, him. Right. Actually, and now looking as I hate to say this because you hate these analytics, but a number that I think is a really good indicator of how good a pitcher's been is WHIP, and he's not good at all.
You know who is having a good year? And I hate to depress people. Tyler Glasnow leads the American League in wins. Listen to his numbers. 5-1, 2.72 ERA, 0.93 WHIP, 53 strikeouts in 43 innings. One more call, limits. Let's go with one more call, shall we?
All right, let's go to Dom in Cannonsburg.
Hello, Dom. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Paul. It's actually Donald, but that's fine. I won't get mad like the other guy the other day whenever you had his name wrong or
I appreciate
or whatever.
That, and you absolutely sound like Belichick. You really do, but go ahead.
Well, I'm only 34 years old, so some people say I have the voice for radio and face for radio.
Paul, is this unbelievable, this Belichick sound alike?
It is. He's definitely a sound alike.
Go ahead.
Now, so, hey, real quick, you had talked about apathy setting in before even mini camps. So I'll tell you a quick story. So last night, these West Coast trips are a little bit different. I usually enjoy them. So I'll go out in the summertime, watch baseball. It's my number one sport. So I pushed back grilling last night a little bit, sat down on my couch with my dog, getting ready to watch baseball. And by the third inning, Joe, I turned it off and I went to sleep. I was like, this is going to go just how the last week and a half, 2 weeks have gone. It's ridiculous. And just 2 points. So you have two home runs combined from your corner infielders, from your starting corner infielders. I understand that Joe plays first base every now and then. But Tellez and Hayes have two home runs combined. You're not going to survive like that in this league. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And then Limits, do you have a clip of Belichick that we could run side by side with Don from Cannonsburg? I mean, this is uncanny. Has anybody ever told you that, Don?
You are the first one, my friend.
Paul? Am I losing my
mind? No, you're absolutely right. It sounds exactly like Belichick.
But I interrupted you, for which I apologize. Please continue.
No, okay. That was my first point. Corner infielders, I'm sure the corner outfielders aren't much better compared to the league. I haven't looked into those numbers specifically yet. But the second point is, what do we have to look forward to other than schemes? I mean, I'm talking about hitting-wise. My buddy texted me the other day and said, who do we have in the minors coming up at first base? And I was like, oh. Well, I almost cussed on the air, sorry. I thought myself. But I was like, oh, gee, I mean, we have nobody.
Well, hopefully, and I hear what you're saying. And, wow, this was incredible. Thank you for the call.
Yes.
That was just unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
Wow.
He sounded exactly like him.
He did. Let's not bury the lead here, City Limits. Come back later with going from one to the other, from one to the other. We'll give you a little time to put together that that collage of sound, if you will.
It sounded exactly, and he made good points.
Very similar, yeah.
And he made good points.
Long lost relatives.
Call that guy back. He needs to come on again. All right. Do you have his number? Did it come up there?
By the way,
Don, call back Limits. Sorry, Paul.
By the way, I was going to say, you know who the four of the five worst pitchers on the Pirates right now in WHIP?
Who?
Chapman, Contreras, Bednar, and Keller. Four guys that you were basically, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Thinking were going to be your best pitchers have, at least by that metric, been among your worst.
What did that guy even just say? I forget now.
He was talking about the fact that they can't.
Oh, what do they have next?
They can't survive. Yeah, they can't survive with what they're doing. He made a really good point, too. If you think about it, their corner infield positions, third base, Hayes with one home run, and Tellez and Connor Joe with three. So their corner infield positions have combined for four home runs.
Hayes should go back and find his minor league hitting coach. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. They fired him.
Right. Which is okay, except for your power hitter, which is supposed to be your shortstop, only has three home runs. I mean, it's uncanny how, if you look up and down the lineup, nobody's hitting, really. I mean, you know.
But you also look up and down. I look up and down and say, who really has the pedigree here where it's like, ah, this is just a blip. This is just an April blip. And any day now, he's really going to get going. I don't know, Brian Reynolds, he usually does a little better than this, but he's an above average, slightly hitter. You know, he's not a star. Sawinski's doing what he always does. Boom, bust, bust, boom, boom, bust, bust, boom. And winds up really not helping your team in the long run. I know sometimes during silly season in September, he'll have a good month or right. another big home run month. Connor Joe is probably overachieving. Rowdy Tellez, I just mentioned him. It's not like, oh, wow, yeah, this guy, he's going to start blasting home runs any day now. He'll hit a few. Key Brian Hayes has had two good stretches in his whole career of power hitting. He's your cleanup guy or your three guy at times.
Right.
McCutchen looks close to done, honestly. Henry Davis and Cruz have really never done anything. Cruz showed us flashes a couple years ago. That was it. So there's nothing really in this lineup where you're saying, yeah, that guy, you know, it's only April. That guy's going to get going. Who?
Well, here's the thing. If you look at these numbers, Joe. Okay, I just did it real quick. Pirates are among the bottom four in home runs. Okay. In the top five in strikeouts.
Yeah.
They're in the bottom eight in average. The bottom four in slugging percentage. And the bottom, let's see. Bottom six in OPS. The only metric that they actually are reasonably decent, believe it or not, is on base.
Yeah, well, they get on base, but nobody drives them in, and they don't
and
make
I
up
like
for
they're
all
great.
This.
They're 15th, but at least they're somewhat really. If they were 15th in all those other numbers,
yeah,
it'd be a whole different story.
They get a bunch of guys on base, but they never drive them in because they can't hit.
That's true.
That's just, you know, they don't make up for all those strikeouts with power, which a team like the Dodgers will do. I can live with the strikeouts if you give me power. They have almost none. We're answering the call. Well, first of all, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan's going to host the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon to benefit local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours as we raise funds to help these volunteers who serve and sacrifice for us. Paul, I know this is a big deal. It really is. And people want to get their local VFDs involved. You go to 93.7 The Fan for details on the event to register your local VFD. And you put the firefighter uniform on the other day, and you mentioned yesterday that we probably or definitely don't give these people enough credit for what they do, what they're always on call and ready to do, right?
The weight, just the weight of those uniforms alone. You know what I mean? Of those firefighter suits. The weight of that, I couldn't imagine running into a fire. Well, I couldn't imagine running into a fire anyway. But I couldn't imagine like trying to climb up a ladder or move around or do something with all that weight on, you know what I mean? And not to mention how hot it must be. Ugh,
it's amazing. Fan 5-Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, Og Murphy Perkowski, the firm, and Gherkin Roofing and Contracting. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet Springs here. So are the deals at Sun Chevy, sunchevy.com. High is 72 today with a 30% chance of rain, which again has me thinking golf for the second straight day. We'll see about that. Garrett Padel on the line to talk NFL draft. He was really good going into the draft. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about how he thinks the Steelers did.